We will begin third chapter today, Karma Yoga. The English is not there. It's English there, is there in the index, I think. It's called, what's it? Oh, that is chapter 5. It's called Action in Krishna Consciousness. Oh, this is just Karma Yoga. So this chapter starts with first, like for those who wants to know, like, we'll just give a brief overview of the whole chapter, like, you know, how the verses are covered. So verses 1 to 2, if you want, you can make a note, like, you know, it gives a layout of the whole chapter. 1 to 2 talks about Arjuna's confusion, like after chapter 2. In chapter 2, Krishna speaks about Buddhi Yoga. So Buddhi, Arjuna thinks that Buddhi Yoga means, you know, intelligence. So that means acting with intelligence means there is no work. So we'll cover about that confusion in a little bit in depth later on. So 1 to 2, Arjuna expresses his confusion in front of Krishna. 3 to 9, Krishna clarifies Arjuna's question and explains about Karma Yoga, art of work.
Explaining on the third chapter?
Yes, third chapter. So for chapter 3, it's a high level over, what to say, themes of chapter 3. 3 to 9 is Krishna talks about Karma Yoga, also answering Arjuna's question. And he talks about basically art of working. 10 to 16, third chapter, verse numbers 10 to 16, Krishna talks about the principle of sacrifice, yajna, importance of yajna and whom we should offer yajna. And why the duties are prescribed in the Vedas, which uplift us from material to spiritual platform. Essentially, it's talking about yajnas. Now, how work has to be performed as sacrifice to Vishnu. Verses 17 to 29, he talks about, you know, people are self-realized. They don't need to do anything in general in the world. But why self-realized people also perform duties? So 17 to 29. Why self-realized people, also souls, also perform duties in this world? So essentially emphasizing performance of duties. 30 to 35, Krishna concludes Karma Yoga and also urges again Arjuna to fight. 36, Arjuna asks very important question as to, like, why will people, knowing that something is harmful for them, or, like, you know, something is sinful, something is not so auspicious, still they act as if they're forced to act? Like, many times we know, no, right? Like, for example, I should not steal, or I should not eat non-prasadam. So many things we know, but still people act as if they're forced to act. Why people happen to do like this? It's a very, very important question, right? Right? That's a very important question Arjuna asked in verse number 36.
I didn't get
the question is, why are people knowing that something is wrong, still they act in such a ways as if they are forced to act? So what is that force, you know, which makes them act in a way which is not so auspicious for them?
It's, for example, because of the community or because of their own...
Yeah, that's what Krishna is going to answer. It's actually, it's the lust, the desire to enjoy is the one impelling force. Krishna elaborates that reply in 37 to rest of the chapter, basically 37 to 43. Krishna answers Arjuna's question as to, like, what is a force which...
Is it 36 or 37?
36 is Arjuna's question.
Okay.
37 to 43 is Krishna's reply to that question, elaborating on, you know, what is that force? How to conquer that force, which is lust, basically. So that is a brief outline of this chapter. So we'll see if we can cover, like, a couple of three verses today, because first two verses are very simple.
Questions,
yeah. So we can recite the Sanskrit.
So what's the segue from the last chapter to this?
Exactly, we are going to cover in the context of the discussion of this verse.
What was the question? What is that? What is the segue? I mean,
connection.
Yeah. What? Yeah. Why this? Why is Dharma the next?
Arjuna said, O Janardana, O Keshava, why do you want to engage me in this ghastly warfare if you think that intelligence is better than fruitive work? So this is Arjuna's question. First of all, he's calling this war as ghastly. He's calling gore. It's like, as you know, greatly sinful act. It's like, you know, such a gore papam, they say, right? Ghastly warfare. So he doesn't consider it auspicious. And next one is saying is, first he's calling Krishna different names. We covered like some of the names of Krishna in first chapter, right? So does anybody recall some of the names of Krishna?
Madhusudana,
Kuntiputra.
Something like that. Kunti.
That's Arjuna.
Rishikesha.
Govinda.
Rishikesha.
Rishikesha. Janardana.
Achyuta.
Madhusudana.
Madhusudana. So, what is the meaning of Keshava?
KCD.
Killer of the KCD. Killer of KCD. What is the meaning of Janardana?
Master of all.
We asked that in the exam, right?
Who takes care of people?
Who is the maintainer for living entities? So, okay, so he's calling Krishna with names, some names. So Krishna is, actually God doesn't have a name, but his name, based, devotees give him names based on his activities. Right, like Krishna has so many names, like Yashoda Nandana, like Nanda Nandana. Now this is, today is auspicious beginning of Kartik month. Right, so we celebrate Yashoda Mai binding Krishna pastime. So every day we offer lamb to the Krishna, so this whole month. And especially it's very, very significant for spiritual advancement. So devotees take vows to chant more rounds, or you know, stop eating some sweets. You know, sweets or some things which they really, really like as a sacrifice, or some other things, you know, just to increase their spiritual advancement.
Today it started?
Yeah, today. Yeah, for us also.
This year actually.
Taking the
toe
is just for this month or
whole life we can take, but we feel, you know, only 1 month I can do it, right?
Yeah.
So that's how we start.
That's doable.
Yeah. So that's how we start.
I'll take it from my
No, it's just like anything.
Anything which you really like, you can.
Yeah, you
or more than that, actually.
Then else with him doesn't work.
More than not doing something, we can start doing more of chanting or something like that, reading or something. That's much more better than, yeah, these things are, in a way it's good, you know, if we know that, you know, sweets are usually, you know, stopping me from, we can do it. Yeah, anyway. So, Hare Krishna.
So, next class is most important.
Yeah,
next class is
most
important.
I know. I get all the messages.
I will not be here for
time. Who is the invigilator for exam?
Okay. So coming back, so what is Arjuna's question? So if you think that intelligence is better than fruity work, why Krishna you are asking me to fight, right? So he's referring to here as buddhi. So let's discuss Srila Prabhupada's purport, then we'll connect back to the second chapter and see, you know, why this, why first of all Arjuna is confused. None of us are confused, right? After second chapter?
I see. Yeah.
Okay.
After test, we'll tell you. No, test is okay. If we get the message, that is better, right?
Okay, Garima Mataji, you want to read?
Sure.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, has very elaborately described the constitution of the soul in the previous chapter with a view to delivering his intimate friend Arjuna from the ocean of material grief. And the path of realization has been recommended. Buddhi Yoga or Krishna Consciousness. Sometimes Krishna Consciousness is misunderstood to be inertia, and one with such a misunderstanding often withdraws to a secluded place to become fully Krishna Consciousness by chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna. But without being trained in the philosophy of Krishna Consciousness, it's not advisable to chant the holy name of Krishna in a secluded place, where one may acquire only cheap adoration from the innocent public. Arjuna also thought of Krishna Consciousness or Buddhi Yoga or intelligence in spiritual advancement of knowledge as something like retirement from active life and the practice of penance and austerity at a secluded place. In other words, he wanted to skillfully avoid the fighting by using Krishna Consciousness as an excuse.
Well, we can identify now, right?
But as a sincere student, he placed the matter before his master and questioned Krishna as to his best course of action. In answer, Lord Krishna elaborately explained Karma Yoga or work in Krishna Consciousness in this third chapter.
Okay, so now let's understand what is Arjuna's confusion. So what Srila Prabhupada discovered in the purport is, first of all, Krishna started to relieve Arjuna's confusion by explaining about spirit soul, right? Krishna gave like Lord Sankhya Yoga about, you know, the nature of spirit and matter, how spirit is, soul is, cannot be killed, whereas body is going to extinguish. Like all those things he covered. And at the same time, Krishna in particular verse, he talked about Buddhi Yoga. It's starting at a particular verse, and later on, rest of the chapter, he talks so much about Buddhi. So that verse specifically referred to here is 2.49. So let's go there and see, you know, what is that verse. So in 2.49, Krishna says, Durena hi avaram karma buddhi yoga dhananjaya buddhav sharanam anvichya krupana falahetava. So Dhananjaya, keep all abominable activities far distant by devotional service, and in that consciousness surrender unto the Lord. Those who want to enjoy the fruits of their work are misers. So here Krishna introduced the word buddhi yoga in this verse. So basically buddhi means, literally we can think of it as intelligence. But Srila Prabhupada, you know, he correctly says that buddhi yoga is actually bhakti yoga or, you know, devotional service. But literally if we take, buddhi yoga can be considered as like intelligence, like, you know, focusing our intelligence on the supreme. That means jnana platform basically. So in that understanding, one may think one cannot work. So jnana platform means just philosophical speculation, just sit and, you know, meditate on the supreme, but not doing any activity. So that's how buddhi yoga can be understood also. That's how Arjuna understood it as. But he doesn't know how one can work with knowledge, work in knowledge. Right? The conclusion, that is nothing but Karma Yoga. Working with knowledge that, you know, I am spirit soul, part and parcel of Krishna, that is Karma Yoga. But just Buddhi Yoga means just, the Buddhi Yoga, Jnana Yoga. Jnana Yoga means just stopping all activities and just meditating on the Supreme.
Karma Yoga means, I thought fruitive activities, but gradually.
Gradually, yes. There is Sakama and Nishkama also. But in any way, it's working, so in somewhat connecting with the Lord. It's Karma Yoga. Initially, it starts with Sakama Karma Yoga, means I enjoy the fruits and I'll give little bit to Krishna. Gradually, it may become Nishkama, where I just do my duty and give all the results to Krishna. But still, Karma Yoga is always connecting with Supreme. So, connecting our work with the Supreme is Karma Yoga. Karma Kanda is different. Karma Kanda.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here, intelligence means Krishna consciousness.
Yeah. Buddhi Yoga is actually Krishna consciousness, but it can be understood as just Jnana Yoga. That's what Arjuna's confusion is about. And another point is about 2.49 is Krishna says keep all abominable activities far distant, right? So Arjuna thinks abominable activities are nothing but killing his kinsmen. He thinks that as abominable. So Krishna is telling me to keep that far away, at the same time he's asking me to fight. So he thinks it's contradictory. So there are two points, right? We should clearly understand this connection, you know, otherwise we'll not be able to. So first point is, he thinks Buddhi Yoga is nothing but Jnana Yoga. That means it's inertia. That means it's not no action. He cannot understand how one can act with knowledge. So he thinks there is no action, then why Arjuna Krishna is asking me to fight? That's one point. Second point is, Krishna is asking to keep all abominable activities far. And Arjuna thinks fighting his kinsmen as abominable activity. So you know why he's keeping it, he's asking me to keep it far away, but still he's asking me to fight. Right? These are the two things he thinks is confused about these two things, two aspects. So that's why Srila Prabhupada elaborates in the purport that many people misunderstand Krishna consciousness as inertia. Right? He says, sometimes Krishna consciousness is misunderstood to be inertia, and one with such a misunderstanding often withdraws to a secluded place to become a fully Krishna conscious person by chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna. So one thinks just chanting Hare Krishna is the only way we are being Krishna conscious. But actually Krishna consciousness means what?
Service.
In every activity we change the consciousness. So the consciousness is pervading through all our activity. It's not an external activity which makes it Krishna conscious. Right? It's a consciousness which pervades the activities which makes it Krishna conscious. Of course, there are certain activities which cannot be Krishna conscious, right? But like, for example, taking care of family, taking care of kids at home, going to work, seemingly these are all material activities. But with what consciousness we do makes them Krishna conscious. So that is Karma Yoga, connecting our work or activities with Krishna. But whereas many, this is a common misunderstanding, people think, you know, taking to spiritual life means giving up everything. No, it's as if, you know, why to take it at such a young age? So there was a very nice incident. So in Pune, there's lot of, you know, ISKCON preaching, everything going on. So there's one, and many people usually, you know, they are eager to quit their jobs and join temple, you know, just take it to, you know, brahmachari life, everything. So like that, one boy was inspired and he wanted to, you know, become full-time brahmachari like that. Then father came and complained, you know, why, you know, you took away my son. Son is so young. Spiritual life is to be taken at an older age when everything, all the activities are done. That's when we take the name of God. You know, why you have taken my child at such a young age. Then they said, okay, you take your child, you come. Now we are older. You are ready, right? Ready to spiritual life, you come. He said, okay, wait a minute, let me talk to my wife. He goes back and he discusses with his wife. He comes back and says, no, keep my son. I will stay.
This kind of thing, one of my mother's friend's grandson had. Their parents were not happy that they went. And I had that discussion with the mother itself. And she was like, you know, we are still doing all those activities. What makes him so special? I just threw up my hands and said, unless you are in that, you cannot realize that.
Yes.
That's, but the parents do feel that. The child goes, they do feel that.
Because parents also want to enjoy through their children. That's the problem.
Right.
And when they miss that thing, essentially it hurts them. In a way, you know, it's actually sense gratification. But after a period of time, they will realize how that child has saved them. Because when the child becomes Krishna conscious, they will actually deliver the parents. So it will spiritually benefit them, but they will not be able to understand that at this point. We are also speaking, we don't know, you know, when the time comes, how hard it will be. But yeah, we should be ready. So
if you are doing any activity for fruitative results, so that is not karma yoga. That's not even any category.
Yeah, that
karma yoga means whatever the karma you are doing. Doesn't matter whether you are going to enjoy or for Krishna, or is it just for Krishna?
Yeah, it should be somewhat connected. At least, you know, mentally.
Where that work will go? Who is doing for their sense gratification? Where,
which,
where that
what
work,
is that
which
mean?
Bucket it will go?
Sense, it's called, it's not yoga, it's not yoga, it's, that's what it's, Vikarma or, you know, we covered Akarma, right? Akarma is Bhakti Yoga.
Yeah.
Or it's Vikarma means, you know, completely against Vedic injunctions.
When you say
it's called Karma.
Karma.
It's called
this
Karma.
Is Karma.
Karma. It will be Karma. Karma means you get reactions. Karma Kanda is following Vedic rules and regulations to get pious benefits, right? Like sacrifices.
Yeah.
That is just Karma. We are just doing Karma and getting Karma. Okay.
So Karma Kanda is like, Karma Yoga is generally what we kind of do, maybe. Attempting to do, I would say.
Attempt, yes. Karma Yoga is doing our work and activities in connection with Supreme.
Trying to connect.
Trying to connect and gradually give more and more results to the Lord. Being detached from results, essentially.
So the laws of the karma are still in effect.
Yes.
What you're trying to get out of that?
You're saying, you know, by doing Karma Yoga, are we
trying to get out of the laws of the karma?
Yeah, now actually laws of karma will act, but now it will be under the direction of Krishna.
Okay.
It will be like,
because I mean, let's say for example prasadam, right? If we
right.
eat prasadam, then we do not get that karma.
Yes.
Right? So
that's correct.
But
those
law,
are
laws of karma says for every action there is a reaction.
Yes. Because the amount of Krishna consciousness in our activities is not 100%, right?
Yes.
If it's 100%, then no reaction at all.
Yeah.
But based on the percentage of Krishna consciousness we have, that much reactions, you know, we are anyway supposed to bear. And that also will be given under the direction of Krishna. Like, you know, it's said that once you take up devotional service, if you're supposed to get, let's say, you know, huge accident, you may get away with just a scratch. Because Krishna gives now whatever is needed for us to become more Krishna conscious. And sometimes he takes away, as we discussed last time, to help us become more Krishna conscious. So Srila Prabhupada continues, but without being trained in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, it is not advisable to chant the holy name of Krishna in a secluded place where one may acquire only cheap adoration. So that's what we discussed last time also, right? One devotee, he was thinking, what's the purpose of work? Right? Not last time, but no, suddenly he came to Krishna consciousness and then he said, you know, why should I work? Just for money, you know, what's the motivation? So he said, you know, I'll quit my job, I'll join temple. Right? So that's what is the common misunderstanding of Krishna consciousness.
Why is Srila Prabhupada say that Arjuna is simply avoiding the fight? Because I think he's just asking a very logical question, because so far Lord Krishna gave him a lot of reasons for, you know, just put your, you know, keep it in your mind and don't like anything else and me, and, you know, he actually gave a lot of good reasons. So it caters to the fact, the intelligence aspect, right? So I think this is very logical. It doesn't seem like he's trying to avoid battle at all. I mean, he's just Krishna just said, you know, just think about me and then, you know, do devotional service. But he didn't define what that means, right? That's all. He just said,
yeah,
do this, that's it.
So if suppose Arjuna was fully convinced from, like, by the end of second chapter, then he would not even have rest of the chapters, in the sense of he would at this point surrender and says, you know, okay, I will do whatever you say. So still, Arjuna has some doubts. Or maybe, you know, he's leading the doubts for us to understand further. As Srila Prabhupada explains later on, Arjuna is leading that discussion so that for us it will be very clear, you know, what is Karma Yoga, how to act, how to work in connection with Supreme. But then, so what Srila Prabhupada is making us understand is, he is now using that, you know, as Buddhi Yoga. Sometimes, you know, we interpret things the way we want to interpret, right? We give excuses, right? We will find many things like that in Krishna consciousness also. Many times I'm trying to recollect some things which we can very, very nicely, you know, proper spiritual things we can nicely apply, you know, and justify and do. I'm not able to recollect, but yeah. So like that, in a way, here Arjuna is justifying that Buddhi Yoga, that understanding that, you know, Buddhi Yoga means acting with intelligence. So okay, I'll focus my mind on you, I'll not work. I just have to focus my mind on you, right? So why should I work? So that's what Krishna Prabhupada is telling, that he is trying to act, use Krishna consciousness as an excuse to not fight. But if he's really Krishna conscious, means he has to fight, right?
Yeah, my only the only thing I noticed was like, it didn't appear to me that he was skillfully trying to avoid fighting. It just it would have been a logical thing that would have occurred. Like, you're telling me to do this, but
if he wouldn't want to avoid, my understanding is then he wouldn't even continue this discussion.
Okay.
At this point, he would have started fighting.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, it's our understanding, right? And we can learn more from what our acharyas are explaining. So, you know, we can understand from what Prabhupada is giving the inner meaning of Arjuna's question.
So, Mataji, one question. So far, Krishna has done the knowledge part in second chapter. Now it's just a conversation, rest. So Bhagavad Gita, like question answer or
yeah, so, initially it starts with, like, for example, now Arjuna has two questions, right? Krishna is going to elaborate that in, like, you know, many verses, and after that again we cover that sixth Arjuna's question, so then Krishna will explain some more, and like that fourth chapter is also again Krishna elaborately talks, and fifth chapter Arjuna starts again with some confusion again, so like that it's dialogue goes on, and later in eighth chapter again Krishna Arjuna has like about six or eight questions. It's more like Arjuna is going deeper, and also in a way he's giving us more more knowledge, making us understand Krishna's point of view. So how many of us understood Krishna consciousness like that, or spiritual life like that initially?
Which is to be in a secret place.
Yeah, to be, you know, to give up everything. That's why we are afraid, you know. Not, don't even go near them, no, it's like we'll give up our family.
The initial thought is, why are we doing this? At least those were there.
Why are we doing this? How many of us, how many of you were like initially, you know, or at least, you know, stopped by your friends? Okay, don't go there, you know, you'll give up your life, you'll give up your family, you'll give up your right?
Yeah, one of my friend was telling about this ISKCON, don't go there, it's too, so dangerous, they will attract people and they will ask them to take brahmachari or something.
Exactly,
like that.
Yeah.
She said two of the examples, what you said, like,
yeah. So I also have a friend, so whose friend, like, you know, so she was telling me that, you know, she went to ISKCON, and then, you know, like, there was a dramatic change in her. Like, she practically, like, you know, she almost deserted me, and she was practically living there, like going there like every single day, and like, I don't understand, like, why people can change so suddenly and so dramatically, you know. So she was telling me about one example. So I was trying to explain then, you know, it can be gradual, it can be dramatic.
Yes.
It just depends. It's not just this life.
Yes.
You can,
yes,
you know, have karmas from
yes,
here.
Yes. Yeah, initially when I came to Krishna consciousness, I had other friends also, right? So those friends used to, you know, tell me, you know, because beginning, right, like, we are not even fully convinced. You have some liking, so you start coming. At the same time, you have friends, so you meet them also. So you hear both of them, right? So then they used to tell, you know, oh, why are you going there? What are you learning? So I was little bit confused for some time, you know, because I hear different things. But then later on, I know I had this feeling, like, you know, where am I more satisfied? Of course, I'm going there. Nobody is forcing me. I'm liking whatever they're saying. You know, I from the heart, I really am enjoying all this. You know, I really, from the heart, I like all this. So what if somebody says something else? Like, you know, if somebody says it's not good or you're not going to be happy, how will it affect me? I know I'm being happy, right? So it's like how Srila Prabhupada says, Paresha Anubhuti, right? You will know that your hunger is satisfied when you eat. So then with that conviction, I continued the journey. And by devotee's mercy, still we are here, struggling. So Arjuna also thought Buddhi Yoga is actually not inertia, essentially. It's not active. It's Buddhi Yoga means, he thought it's essentially acting, the applying the intelligence to the Lord. That means it's inactive life.
So inertia, word is used as a meaning for inactivity?
Yes,
inert.
Yes. Inert. Yes.
Inert.
Okay.
Inert, not inertia. Yeah.
Just inert.
Inertia is there.
Inertia.
Then use the word inertia.
Yeah, actually he's going to cover
inert
in the next. Yeah, he's misunderstood to be inertia. Yeah.
Mm.
Inertia means inactive. Yeah.
Laws of inertia.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Physics.
No, it's the same thing. It's rest, right?
Yeah.
Mass at rest.
Continuing with
whatever your
if our body is at a constant velocity, then the zero force continues. Is required, right? That is laws of, that's laws of inertia,
right?
That means, and the other one is, if a body is at static rest, then force is equal to mass and
acceleration. Okay, here,
so my question was so understanding the Krishna philosophy of Krishna consciousness, that's not Jnana Yoga, right? So what is the difference between Buddhi Yoga, which is Krishna consciousness, and understanding the philosophy of Krishna consciousness? Because
where is it? Okay. But without being trained, the philosophy of Krishna consciousness is not advisable to chant the holy name of Krishna in secluded place.
So Krishna consciousness itself is Buddhi Yoga.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And trying to understand that is basically a part of the process of Krishna Yoga consciousness. The Buddhi Yoga or Krishna consciousness. Is that what it is?
What I understand is, so without being trained in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness means without being practically applying Krishna consciousness in your daily life, you cannot just quit your activities and go to secluded life. So essentially, that's what section Krishna is going to cover later on. Where Krishna emphasizes, until we are purified, we cannot quit our duties. That's their point essentially. While we are...
But Arjuna's one question was also like, you have to... Why do the self-realized souls have to
exactly,
perform their duties? Right?
Yeah, that's what is going to... Also, Krishna is going to also emphasize that also. Like, you know, not only in the impure stage where it is necessary to do our duties, because that by doing duties we get purified. Not only that, but even self-realized souls do their duties because to set an example. That's what section Krishna is going to cover later on. So being trained in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness means knowing and applying Krishna consciousness in our day-to-day aspects of life. That means practically becoming Krishna conscious. Then it's actually not needed to go to a secluded place. We can chant Hare Krishna. We are actually chanting Hare Krishna while we are doing our things.
So,
and if needed also, we could, at a certain point of life, let's say the order of special master or whatever, if we are asked to take sannyas, we are ready to do.
Okay. I'm basically trying to figure out the difference between Jnana Yoga, Buddha Yoga and Bhakti Yoga, right?
Yes.
Yoga is basically a verb, right? And there's some action associated to it, correct? Whereas Krishna consciousness is itself more like a noun-ish kind of thing, is it?
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to understand what is the difference between all these three.
So for us, actually, Srila Prabhupada, all through we can understand all of them as same, right? For us, Buddhi Yoga, Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, all of them, Krishna Prabhupada defines as Krishna consciousness. But literally, if you take Jnana Yoga, is some philosophical process. I don't know what is the process. What do they do? It's based on mental
speculation.
They read books and speculate, and then gradually that purifies them. I don't know what's the exact process or whatever. Gradually
speculate. Is a negative term, so that's also Krishna.
No, eventually they'll get purified to come to know that, you know, they have to serve Vishnu.
Oh, okay.
Then they take Krishna consciousness. That's when later on next purport Srila Prabhupada says that's an indirect process.
No.
So with knowledge, that's what we covered right in the chart. There is a direct process,
indirect
process last time. So first you start with, you know, okay, get the knowledge and real come to the stage that, you know, I'm soul. Then understand, oh, there's super soul, okay, let me serve the super soul. But we start at least theoretically accepting Krishna as supreme, that I am the soul theoretically. We start devotional service and eventually we get the realization. So that is direct process.
And the direct process is
Bhakti Yoga or Krishna consciousness.
Or Buddhi Yoga.
Yes.
Both are same.
Both are the same.
In terms of Srila Prabhupada defines all of them as same. But Buddhi Yoga, literally, if you take, or rather Jnana Yoga, Jnana Yoga we are talking. Jnana Yoga is different, right?
Okay,
so Jnana Yoga, Arjuna confuses Buddhi Yoga as Jnana Yoga. Okay, that's it. Right? Jnana Yoga is based on mental speculation. It's an indirect process, which eventually one knows that there is Supreme Lord, I have to serve the Supreme Lord. So Arjuna confuses Buddhi Yoga to be Jnana Yoga, whereas Buddhi Yoga is nothing but Bhakti Yoga, is nothing but Krishna consciousness. Okay.
Okay, in 251, one sentence Prabhupada says.
251.
Chapter 2.
Oh,
52. Okay, page 119. So, service for the cause of the Lord is called Karma Yoga or Buddhi Yoga, or in plain words, devotional service to the Lord.
Yeah. For us, that's what Srila Prabhupada always uses this as synonymous. He never loses that Krishna consciousness aspect, you know, you'll not actually, these are considered different ladders, yoga ladders, different levels.
Yeah.
Karma yoga and then jnana yoga, and there are different levels. But Srila Prabhupada, you know, nicely says that, you know, all of them when they're performed in connection with Krishna become bhakti yoga. So we don't have to climb the ladder one by one. We are, you know, taking the staircase. We are taking the elevator. Okay, so verse number 2, Krishna, Arjuna continues his question.
I have one question. If you're saying the jnana yoga, right, in one of the verses in second chapter, Prabhupada also talks about the analytical.
Yes, Sankhya yoga.
Yeah. Right? So that's also jnana yoga. Sankhya,
yes,
because that, analysis,
yes,
because
yes,
you understand,
yeah,
what,
yes,
the body is,
yes,
who the soul,
yes,
is, what,
yes,
the.
Correct.
So that is could be,
yes,
the jnana,
yes,
yoga, right?
Yes,
analysis,
yes,
analytical.
Yes. We have in next verse, verse number 3, Srila Prabhupada is going to cover that context of Sankhya yoga and, you know, how this is related to this. Yeah, we're going to come there. Hopefully today we'll cover that.
So is there any difference between Sankhya yoga and jnana yoga? No, no,
maybe not.
I think,
yeah,
it, is, it seems
same,
like it is the same, because he says
analytical study of nature of spirit
study,
and matter.
And so that's what the study of jnana yoga, study of the soul, study,
yeah,
like understanding, like Mataji said, understanding what the soul and then come to Krishna.
There may be deeper differences.
There may be some.
Yeah.
For
our understanding, we can think of the Sankhya yoga is jnana yoga. Anyway, we don't know any yoga anyway. So, at least if theoretically, if we know what it is, maybe just for understanding, you know, Arjuna's doubts.
So, Prabhupada, sorry. Prabhupada also says it is not advisable to chant the holy name of Krishna in a secluded, sorry, without being trained in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, it is not advisable.
Yes.
So, should we chant or not?
Without being trained, we should not.
It's secluded. It's not about like we are.
So, only in secluded place you can chant only if you are trained.
No, what Prabhupada is telling is, give up all your duties, go to some forest and just chant, live life by chanting holy,
yeah,
names.
It
that's not Krishna
that,
consciousness.
That you should not do.
Not in the,
so Krishna
not
consciousness
like
should be in all
person,
your activities.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to basically give the literal meaning of this.
No, he's discouraging a person who quits,
okay,
his duties and renounces the so-called society and goes, says that, you know, Krishna consciousness means, oh, I'll go to Vrindavan and chant.
Because if it's like, if it's not purified, we may,
yes,
go out, but our,
yeah,
mind still be in the thoughts.
Yeah.
It will be fancifying, what if I'm doing this, I'll,
yeah,
be there, I'll be this, that and all that. So we, until we are purified,
yes,
we leave everything, body will go there, but our,
but
mind will,
you
go,
have,
right,
to chant in order to be purified. Right?
Yes, yes,
yes. So chanting, that's what.
So if
no,
I'm.
Prabhupada, I understand your, what's the doubt. Prabhupada is not telling that, you know, during the day we can't go to a secluded place where there is no noise and chant. That's
we
not.
Can go.
We should do it.
See, for him, he has to, with a small child, he has to go to a forest for that.
Maybe we can go to park. No, we'll go to some park and chant and come back.
Yeah, that we should do. If needed, we should do. But this, the meaning here,
in
context,
that extent,
no,
I'm giving
no,
you
no,
it's not about chanting in the secluded place. I'm trying to understand, like, you know, like, yeah, chanting is basically a part of understanding the philosophy or not?
Yes.
It is, right?
Yes, it's a part of training, being trained in Krishna consciousness.
Okay, okay. So, and once we are trained in that philosophy, obviously then you no need of requiring you to go,
yes,
in a secluded place,
yes,
in order to chant them,
yes,
right?
Yes,
okay, okay, so that's...
Correct.
Once you are chanting and all, you get the mercy, right?
Yes.
The part,
yeah,
of the process.
Yes. Mm. Yes, Prabhu, Hare Krishna.
Dandavats,
Prabhu.
So the last part of the sentence is kind of emphasizing the fact that chief adoration from the innocent public, that is the intent behind going,
yeah,
to chant in a secluded place. And that is why, without being properly trained, even those encouraged to only for pratishtha,
yeah,
get into a secluded place, that is not recommended.
Yeah.
But training to properly understand the philosophy before being, you know, trying to do something which is very cheap and artificial, that is, I believe, the emphasis of the writing of the complete sentence like that with a comma.
Yeah. Okay, Prabhu, yeah. That's very nice, Prabhu. Yeah. Yeah, until, as Prabhu is telling, unless we are purified, if we go and do it, it may be with a material motive, which is for pratishtha. we may think that, okay, I'm doing it for Krishna, you know, I'm so devoted or I want to become a devoted person. But internally, it's like, you know, I will get some pratishtha that, you know, I'm so renounced. So that becomes very cheap and artificial. And because it's not purified, it becomes artificial, so we'll fall down. We'll go there and again engage in sense gratification. Prestige. Okay, text number 2. The verse.
Technical problem.
Okay, so we'll go then. Vyamishreva vakyena buddhim mohaya sivame tadekam vadana shriya yena shreyo aapnuyam. Vyamishreva vakyena buddhim mohaya sivame tadekam vadana shriya yena shreyo aapnuyam. My intelligence is bewildered by your equivocal instructions. Therefore, please tell me decisively which will be most beneficial for me. So here Arjuna is saying, you know, you have given me equivocal instructions. That means contradictory instructions. So my intelligence is bewildered. Now you tell me clearly which one I should do. Whether focus my intelligence on you or whether I should work. But he doesn't understand how I can work by focusing on you, on Krishna. So we'll read the purport. Mataji, Prabhu Mataji.
In the previous chapter, as a prelude to the Bhagavad Gita, many different paths were explained, such as Sankhya Yoga, Buddhi Yoga, control of senses by intelligence, work without fruitive desire, and the position of the neophyte. This was all presented unsystematically. A more organized outline of the path would be necessary for action and understanding. Arjuna therefore wanted to clear up these apparently confusing matters so that any common man could accept them without misinterpretation.
So we were discussing, right, Prabhu was asking, you know, why Arjuna, so it's for us to understand, no?
Although Krishna had no intention of confusing Arjuna by any jugglery of words, Arjuna could not follow the process of Krishna consciousness, either by inertia or by active service. In other words, by his questions, he is clearing the path of Krishna consciousness for all students who seriously want to understand the mystery of Bhagavad Gita.
So, initial part of the purport, Srila Prabhupada discusses brief outline of second chapter, you know, what are different yogas Krishna covered, Sankhya Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Buddhi Yoga, controlling the senses by intelligence.
Actually, Mataji, the first part of chapter 2 was very clear. He's saying, you know, get up, fight the soul, he talked about soul, everything. Then he also says, get up and fight. The second part of the chapter 2, Krishna doesn't talk about fighting at all. He's just talking about how to, you know,
focus, yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Focus on it.
Exactly.
And that is the cause of his,
yes,
confusion,
yes,
because he's,
yes,
actually telling him initially to fight,
yes,
because of the soul and everything. And then the message got confused towards the end,
yes,
because now he's like,
yes,
hey, don't do this, do this. So I think there were two messages in chapter 2, first part is,
yeah, that's
part.
Why, that's what is confusing Arjuna.
Yeah.
First part, as you said, you know, Krishna asks him to fight. And the last part, he always emphasizes on buddhi.
Yeah.
You see, there are, I think, 33 times, I think, in the last few verses, Krishna uses the word buddhi. Yeah, so then he thinks that, you know, applying my intelligence on you.
Yeah.
But Arjuna doesn't know how I can apply my intelligence on Krishna and still fight.
Yeah.
So that's what is the contradictory, equivocal instructions. So now Arjuna is clearing the path for us so that we can also be cleared how we can do our activities by focusing our mind on Krishna. It's not that, you know, I'll stop doing my activities or I'll sit and meditate on Krishna. But we have to do both. So there is a very nice, which verse is this? Tasmat Sarvesha Kaleshu. Okay, let's read this verse. Yeah, verse 8.7. Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu maam anusmara yudhyacha, mai arpita mano buddhir maam evaishyasi asamshaya. Therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna and at the same time carry out your prescribed duty of fighting. Without your activities with your activities dedicated to me and your mind intelligence fixed on me, you will attain me without a doubt. So here the trick is, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna at the same time carry out your prescribed duty. So it's not that we sit and meditate and say, you know, this is my devotional service, and say, you know, or we stop thinking about Krishna and keep doing our duties. The challenge for us is, while doing our duties, we should remember Krishna. That's what is the challenging part. And in that, Krishna says, first think of me. That's why early in the morning we try to chant our rounds and then go to our duties. Okay. So here another point here is, Arjuna could not follow the process of Krishna consciousness either by inertia, so that is Jnana Yoga, or by active service, that is Karma Yoga. So he is confused about Jnana Yoga and Karma Yoga basically. So everybody is confused about Arjuna's confusion, or is it clear? It's clear, right? Okay. So we'll now start discussing. I think we have time. Yeah, we thought we'll cover 3 verses, so I think we can do it. We'll start discussing Krishna's reply. So as we discussed earlier, 3 to 9, Krishna is going to elaborate in Karma Yoga. Or you know, what is the way we can focus our intelligence on Krishna at the same time work? Which is nothing but Karma Yoga or art of working. And also another theme of this section, 3 to 9 verses, Krishna points out what is the defect of Arjuna's desire to renounce duty. Now, what defect? What is the defect in renouncing duty? Now, what happens if one prematurely, as you said, you know, unless one is purified, if he renounces duty, what happens? Krishna calls that person as pretender. He's going to be pretender, mithyachari. So we're going to cover that later on. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. लोकेस्मिन् विविधानिष्ठा पुरा प्रोक्ता मयानगा ज्ञानयोगेन साख्यानां कर्मयोगेन योगिनां श्रीभगवान् उवाच लोकेस्मिन् विविधानिष्ठा पुरा प्रोक्ता मयानगा ज्ञानयोगेन साख्यानां कर्मयोगेन योगिनां. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O sinless Arjuna, I have already explained that there are 2 classes of men who try to realize the self. Some are inclined to understand it by empirical philosophical speculation, others by devotion service. So Krishna is telling again, there I have already explained. So we'll come to the purport where Srila Prabhupada explains, you know, where he explained. There are 2 classes of men who try to realize the self. Some do it by empirical philosophical speculation, which is nothing but Sankhya Yoga or Jnana Yoga. And others by devotional service, which is Buddhi Yoga or Karma Yoga. So Krishna is again saying, you know, there are two ways to realize spiritual path. One is indirect process, which is Sankhya Yoga. Other one is direct process, which is Karma Yoga, Buddhi Yoga, Krishna Consciousness. So if you read the purport, it's clearer, you know, where Krishna talked about it and, you know, what's the connection.
In the second chapter, verse 39, the Lord explained 2 kinds of procedures, namely Sankhya Yoga and Karma Yoga or Buddhi Yoga. In this verse, the Lord explains the same more clearly. Sankhya Yoga, or the analytical study of the nature of spirit and matter, is the subject matter for persons who are inclined to speculate and understand things by experimental knowledge and philosophy. The other class of men work in Krishna consciousness, as it explained in the 61st verse of the second chapter. The Lord has explained also in the 39th verse that by working by the principles of Buddhi Yoga or Krishna consciousness, one can be relieved from the bonds of action. And furthermore, there is no flaw in the process. The same principle is more clearly explained in the 61st verse. That is, that this Buddhi Yoga is to depend entirely on the Supreme, or more specifically on Krishna. And in this way, all the senses can be brought under control very easily.
Therefore, okay, we can pause there. So we hear Sri Prabhupada defines, you know, what is Sankhya Yoga and what is Buddhi Yoga. So we'll just briefly summarize that. So let's go to that verse, verse number 39, second chapter, verse number 39, where initially Krishna introduced these two yogas.
105.
So if you look at the Sanskrit, right, Krishna says Sankhya, Eshate Abhihita Sankhya Buddhi Yogetva Imam Shunu. Thus far, I have described this knowledge to you through analytical study, like where Krishna talked about, you know, soul and matter, all those things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, as I explain it in terms of work without fruitive results. Now, listen as I explain it in terms of work without fruitive results. O son of Pritha, when you act in such knowledge, you are free, you can free yourself from the bondage of works. So, Sankhya Yoga is the analytical study. So, where if you read the few lines of the purport, Sankhya means that which describes things in detail, and Sankhya refers to that philosophy which describes the real nature of the soul.
So just the verse before that is the last verse where Krishna says fight.
Yeah, 38. Yeah,
and after that everything is like
yeah, it's very nice. You are very, very, you know, analytical, very nice. You are able to understand.
So here in chapter in the third verse, it's Jnana Yoga in Sankhya Nam. So Jnana Yoga and for Sankhya as for analytical. So it's clear.
Which verse is that?
The same verse, what we are doing.
39? Oh, the one.
The third one, right?
Yeah.
Chapter 3. It says Jnana Yoga in Sankhya Nam. So for the analytical persons, it is the Jnana Yoga. So,
yeah, empirical philosophers. Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't want to speculate like that. So
this is Sankhya Nam, right? Jnana Yoga is Sankhya Nam.
But
yeah.
Is it, so you're saying that the Sankhya Nam is basically a Jnana Yoga and Sankhya Nam is the same thing?
No, see, here also he's saying, right? Sankhya Nam.
Okay, literal word to word translation is Jnana Yoga is by the linking process of knowledge, Sankhya Nam of the empirical philosophers. Here he's now using Sankhya Nam as as people who follow the process, not as a Sankhya Yoga.
Yeah, people who follow the process.
Yeah.
Okay. People who follow the process of?
Yeah, Jnana Yoga. Okay, but Prabhupada, yeah, that's correct. Jnana Yoga and Sankhya Yoga, he synonymously is using that. That's correct. That's correct. Thank you, Madhuri. Yeah. Because translation, Sanskrit is Jnana Yoga, linking process of knowledge, but Srila Prabhupada is saying that there are two kinds of procedures, Sankhya Yoga and Karma Yoga.
Mm-hmm.
So Jnana Yoga is nothing but Sankhya Yoga. Okay, so verse number 39, there are two processes, right? Sankhya Yoga and devotion, Karma Yoga. Now, and here again in this verse, Srila Prabhupada is again clarifying what is Sankhya Yoga. Sankhya Yoga is nothing but analytical study of the nature of spirit and matter. And usually it's in people who are more inclined to speculate, they want to follow that process. So they want to, you know, research and come to that conclusion. Jnana Yoga and Sankhya Yoga. But whereas other class of men or Karma Yoga or Krishna consciousness is first accepting Krishna as supreme and then follow, start doing devotional service, then we get the realization of the things. So that's what is the rest of the purport. So actually, if you want to go deeper, what you could do is you can say, you know, Sankhya Yoga and write some points what Srila Prabhupada is talking about Sankhya Yoga, and then Buddhi Yoga or Karma Yoga and write. See, for example, for Sankhya Yoga, Prabhupada is telling it's an analytical nature of analytical study of nature of spirit and matter, and it's in people who are inclined to speculate, they will follow it, and it's understanding things by experimental knowledge and philosophy. These are 3 points. Whereas for Karma Yoga, Krishna consciousness, Srila Prabhupada is telling that in that verses it's described it's nothing but Krishna consciousness, and it's also one gets relieved from bonds of action and there is no flaw in the process, and in this process one depends entirely on the supreme and all the senses are brought into control very easily. So these are the 4 characteristics Srila Prabhupada is giving. It's very fast, right? So I'm just putting bullet points of what was there in the purport, that's all. So that, you know, it's easy for us to go deeper. Okay, so we'll continue.
Therefore, both the yogas are
interdependent
as religion and philosophy. Religion without philosophy is sentiment, or sometimes fanaticism. While philosophy without religion is mental speculation. The ultimate goal is Krishna, because the philosophers who are also sincerely searching after the absolute truth come in the end to Krishna.
Krishna consciousness.
This is also stated in the Bhagavad Gita. The whole process is to understand the real position of the self in relation to the super self. The indirect process is philosophical speculation, by which gradually one may come to the point of Krishna consciousness.
Mm.
And the other process is directly connecting everything with Krishna in Krishna consciousness. Of these two, the path of Krishna consciousness is better, because it does not depend on purifying the senses by a philosophical process. Krishna consciousness is itself the purifying process, and by the direct method of devotional service, it is simultaneously easy and sublime.
Okay. So in the rest of the purport, what Srila Prabhupada is telling is, so philosophical aspect, and then Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada is calling it as religion, or you know, the practices of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada is telling both are required. So if we follow activities of Krishna consciousness without philosophy behind it, it becomes sentiment. Like that's how our parents have been doing, right? Like when I was growing up, my mom used to do certain pujas. When I asked, you know, why you do certain thing at a certain time, you know, what's it? Then she never used to be able to explain. Like, oh, my parents did, or, you know, I have to do it, otherwise I'll get this thing. You know, if I say, you know, I have to do certain puja to get certain result, like, you know, my son has to pass exam. She says, you know, on that day I will go do some certain thing. And she keeps pestering, you know, that day we should go, otherwise, you know, I'll get reaction, something. So it becomes sentiment. That's why I was not inspired to do anything which she was doing, because I was not able to understand what is the rationale and all those things, right? So there is no philosophy, basically.
So where
but
is puja? Puja is, how do you tie philosophy to puja?
Puja is the karma part, right?
What is puja? Puja.
Rituals,
worship, prayers.
No, but that can also be purely Krishna conscious, right? What we are doing is also puja, right?
Okay. Chant.
If we have the proper philosophy,
okay,
then it becomes purely Krishna conscious. Otherwise, it becomes sentiment. See, we are also doing deity worship. We also do arti, right? We also offer diya.
Right, that's true.
So because now we know the philosophy behind it, we know he is the Supreme Lord, we are meant to serve him, and these are different ways I can serve him, then it becomes more very, very meaningful. Then if somebody asks, I can tell, you know, I can tell to myself what I am doing. But otherwise, my mom is not able to explain, then I am not able to follow. So, but then when I came to Krishna consciousness, first thing which I learnt is the philosophy. Now why, you know, who is Lord, what is our connection, why we should serve, what happens if we don't serve, all those things, then that inspires us to take up further. It's not that first you see, make somebody sit in a room and, you know, keep chanting, then they don't know why they are chanting, what they are chanting for, and all those things. So that's why Prabhupada is emphasizing both are required, religion and philosophy. The other way around, but whereas philosophy without religion becomes mental speculation. So if we just keep reading, without practice, then it just becomes speculative, it just becomes mental, but you don't really realize the knowledge. So that's why in the beginning stages, as we read Bhagavad Gita also, it's encouraged that we take up some service on a regular basis. So then that jnana becomes vijnana, or you know, that knowledge becomes realized knowledge.
It's like reading chemistry and then doing
practicals. Yeah, exactly. Yes.
That's
very nice. Yeah. Yeah, that's where we apply. Whatever we learned, we apply. Otherwise, it becomes, and it goes like, you know, air. We forget all the, equations, right? We forget all the equations after the exam. That's all gone.
No, I share the same opinion. I ask my mom a lot of questions and she says, just accept it.
Oh.
As it is. So, you know, you have to give me the logic to
convince
me. I'm not really questioning, but it leaves an impression on you if you understand the
rationale. Yes, yes. Yeah. Okay. So that's the point there. Another point Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing is the ultimate goal is Krishna gain. So even through Sankhya Yoga, after doing all this research, Srila Prabhupada is telling they are going to come to Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then they are going to begin the service. So that becomes indirect process. Whereas, and they use the philosophical process to purify the senses. But whereas if you take the direct process of Krishna consciousness, accept Krishna as Supreme Personality of Godhead and take the devotional service, gradually through the process senses will be purified and we will attain the goal. So for us, means and the goal are same. A means is the following the process of devotional service. The goal is also pure devotional service. Actually, one person asked question to Srila Prabhupada, okay, you are chanting Hare Krishna. So why are you chanting Hare Krishna? But like, you know, what for? You know, what do you need? You know, what do you want? I'm chanting to chant more. I'm chanting for chanting. So we are chanting so that our chanting will become more and more purified. So that one day we can chant more purely. But it's not we chant, and then we do something else. So our means and the goal are same. So you see, what we are doing now, we'll do the same thing in spiritual world. It's not that... That's what all this Mayavadi philosophy is. It's like climb the ladder and then kick the ladder out. Like, you know, did I tell this example? I think once I told, right? Radhanath Maharaj, once he was visiting, he was going during his journey, right? He was visiting various sadhus. Vrindavan, he met one sadhu, right? And he was Ram Bhakta. Mm. Who can narrate that incident? Somebody can narrate? Probably you know it.
Yeah, I think this is what they're telling. So then he was doing puja and all very nicely. And he was so convinced. He came nearer and nearer to him. And then he asked, why you are doing that? And he said that to become Rama myself.
Yeah.
Then he said, okay, you become Rama if you want to.
So he was doing with that, literally seemingly with so much ardent devotion, love and devotion, Maharaj was very inspired. But then when he understood the ultimate crux of his thing is that, you know, I will one day become Rama. So it's like climbing the ladder and kicking the ladder. So that's not, but for us, the process, means and the goal are same. Means is devotional service to the Lord, and at the end we want to also serve the Lord, but with more purity.
Becoming Rama means submitting.
No, here it's like this is impersonal.
To
become. There's a different philosophy where they think everything is one, so we become God.
Merge into God. Which is again service to God, right? Or is he thinking that he's that far? Right?
Yeah, he thinks that we become.
But
yeah.
That is selfish, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's a different. That's called a different. That's a different philosophy altogether.
Okay.
That's not what we want. Yeah.
Okay.
We always want to be separate from the Lord, so we can serve the Lord.
Okay.
Part and parcel.
Okay. So these two processes, and then another aspect about Sankhya Yoga is it's an indirect process. If you want to make the points for the Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada is talking. It's a direct process, and. Prabhupada is telling there eventually, you know, Sankhya Yoga, eventually we will come to Krishna consciousness and eventually start devotional service. But as we hear, means and the goal are the same. And here, it's because it's a direct method, it's easy and sublime. Whereas the other side, it's very hard. Krishna is going to explain that how it's very difficult. For embodied person, the indirect process is very difficult.
What is time consuming?
Embodied means like embodied, we have given a material body. The soul in the body is called embodied.
Body.
Okay.
So why is this called as indirect process?
Indirect process because, you know, first...
Another connection.
Yeah, because first we do the mental speculation and come to the point that, you know, I'm the soul. Then we
first
take...
First you question something.
Yes, exactly.
You question,
research
and
okay.
Then you work on it and then you later realize. So it's like...
Yeah, actually later
like
on...
Whatever we are doing now.
Actually, there is a way. I
our
don't know.
No, our starting page is like we are souls, so we know.
We believe that you know we surrender. Like Krishna is the supreme personality of God, and that's how you start.
Yes.
You know, so we have surrendered.
We are theoretically we accept it,
and then we are.
Then we do it, and eventually realize it.
Oh.
They want to research and find out what is the end, and then start the devotional service. So it will be more clearer in this purport. So if we read this purport in 5th chapter, verse number 4, it's very clear. It's Sankhya Yoga is described as finding the root of the tree and then watering the tree. But whereas the other way, devotional service is already watering the root.
Verse
4.
233.
5.4, 5th chapter, because Arjuna is going to ask the same, a similar kind of question in 5th chapter again. So then again Krishna clarifies it. So if you read the purport, the aim of the analytical study of the material world is to find the soul of the existence. The soul of the material world is Vishnu or the super soul. So essentially the aim of Sankhya is to find the source, ultimate source, which is nothing but super soul. Devotion service to the Lord entails service to the super soul.
You said 5.4, right, Mataji?
Yeah, 5th chapter, verse number 4.
Yeah. Purport.
Purport.
Oh, okay.
So one process is to find the root of the tree and the other is the water of the, to water the tree, water the root. Got it? So Sankhya is nothing but finding out, okay, where is the root, where is the source, where is the source. Once you find the source, what will you do? Either we can stop there or take up devotional service and proceed further, or, you know, stop at that level in the ladder. Right? But whereas devotional service or Karma Yoga or Buddhi Yoga, Krishna Consciousness is, we accept the root and water the root. So start the process now itself. So that's why it's indirect and this is direct.
No, but if it, but next sentence, this is a real student of Sankhya philosophy finds the root of the material world and then in perfect knowledge engages himself in the service of the Lord.
Yes. So what he is saying is eventually Sankhya students will again come to Krishna consciousness. That's what he is telling.
So Mayavadi, when you know, they finally realize that they cannot become God, they get really disappointed, right?
Yeah.
Sankhya philosophy is not Mayavadi.
No,
Sankhya
is not
Mayavadi. It's like other way around. We are targeting the same.
No, Mayavadis are who believe in the impersonal.
They think that everything is one. Lord doesn't have a personal form.
There is no personal form.
I think that's the reason here the word is used real.
Yeah, real Sankhya. Yeah.
Real student.
Yes.
Like whoever is unreal student, they will not reach.
Yes. That's why, you know, indirect process, that's a risk. You know, you can stop at any level in the yoga ladder and say, I am done. But if take to the direct process, we are gradually making progress and we can continue in the next life even if we stop. So that's why, you know, in the purport, if you notice very clearly, Srila Prabhupada is telling, now we are back to third chapter, verse number 3 purport. The indirect process is philosophical speculation by which gradually one may come to the point of Krishna consciousness. One may.
Not will.
Yeah.
But they say that, I mean, for... faith versus Brahma Jigyasa, right? I mean, if you do not question stuff, then how, I mean, when you question because you want to find out something, right?
Yes.
And that's like, that's how you have become more and more confident.
Yes.
You also question, right?
Yes.
Your mother as to why you're doing this and not this, right? So, but here it seems like questioning is not the way to go.
No. Where is it? No.
So, Arjuna himself is questioning.
I'm trying to find the root, right? So, I mean, Sankhya philosophy, I'm trying to, mental speculation is what, I'm trying to question some stuff, and then based on that, I'm trying to proceed further.
Yes.
Whereas, in devotional service, don't even question.
You don't question the source. We accept Krishna as supreme, but rest of the details we can question, right?
Okay.
Why you have to follow Ekadashi?
I think, as per my knowledge, if you're asking like why one is one, so you will just end up with why one is one, rather than understanding the mathematics.
Yes.
If we'll accept one as a one, then we can understand
the
rest of the mathematics.
I think Krishna is taking a shortcut. He's saying, look, here's a shortcut. And you can take that long road or you can take the shortcut, like it's up to you. They'll both lead to
I think that is also correct asking. But I think if I will keep asking that why this one is
we are not asking why one, but we will ask how to go to one.
We are not asking whether the source is Krishna.
But we are
using not questioning
one.
That.
Like 1 plus 1, 2. We are using that one word. But we are not stuck on
that. So Sankhya philosophers, they don't even know who is that. Who is that source, right? So they are trying to find that source. But we are saying, okay, by some authentic sources, I am coming to know that Krishna is a source. So I am going to accept that. Start from there. Rest of the details we can question, no? Whether to do this way, that way. So many questions we keep asking.
I mean, how does one know that you are doing Sankhya philosophy?
But are we doing this?
Once we have accepted
theory.
That's kind of the assumption there, right? I mean, the explanation that Prabhupada is giving is more like that I have a certain bent of my mind, which is more like the Sankhya. So, I don't go there. This is what you need to do. But I'm kind of clueless that whether I have a Sankhya philosophy or I have some other.
If it's, that depends on if you're still questioning, you know, is Krishna is supreme or Durga is supreme, somebody else, if you're still questioning,
then
that means we are still
in the Sankhya.
Sankhya, or no, we are still not,
not
have,
sure
doesn't have complete
Krishna
faith
is
in Krishna.
Yeah.
Okay. We have not committed.
Sankhya, right?
Sankhya is only
so Sankhya, or it could be, you know, completely confused. Sankhya, they're really dedicated students. No, they really do research.
But their research, at some point of time,
they will come.
Has to start, right?
Start.
That level can be at any bottom level, right? Like they
but,
will.
But
they
if
don't know.
If we knowing that if we still remain confused and always remain confused, we don't actively work.
Then it's unreal.
Then it's yeah. Then
you're following Sankhya. If you do puja
yeah.
for Krishna one day and you look at the results coming, nothing happened. Then you do puja for Durga the other day. See results coming and you say yes, I did.
That's
a lab book. Study of
that's analytical.
Oh. Yeah, yeah.
So that's analytical.
Okay, one more point. So Srila Prabhupada again defining Krishna consciousness as, you know, it's itself a purifying process, the direct method, and also is saying that it's very easy and sublime. So ninth chapter, Krishna describes, you know, characteristics of devotional service. Ninth chapter, verse number 2. No, it will help us inspire more to take up devotional service. Raja Vidya Raja Guhyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam Pratyaksha Avagamanam Dhanyam Susukam Kartum Avyayam. This knowledge, so essentially this is nothing but transcendental knowledge or, you know, devotional service, is the king of education, is the most secret of all secrets. It is the purest knowledge, and because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, it's the perfection of religion. It's everlasting and it's joyfully performed. So many wonderful characteristics of devotional service. So why it's secret of secrets? Because not everybody takes to bhakti. So that's why people want to, you know, research and come to that goal.
So, but everybody wants to do bhakti, they just don't know whom to do the bhakti. Right?
But real bhakti is to the Supreme Lord.
That's why
yeah.
I said whom they.
Yeah. That's
if you see, you know, our parents are.
Yeah.
You know, they want to do bhakti. Mm. Like they want to sit and pray, or they want to do that puja. But to who?
Mm. Yes. And the other point is, it's joyfully performed.
Right.
So that's a similar point for Prabhupada is making. It's easy and sublime. So we are all joyful with performing devotional service. Yeah.
Okay. This actually, this is really
peaceful. Okay. It's that segue, we can end here. It's 8:30. Online, anybody wants to share something or any comments or questions? Okay. Thank you, Hare Krishna. So we'll chant one round of japa and hopefully we'll have time to go and offer diya for the Lord on the first day of Kartik. So
I think we did it last year also.
Yeah, Hare Krishna.